and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Hello, first of all. Hello, Trev. I have been sulking and recovering all week.
Sulking and recovering. Okay. I mean, last week you were in a sort of in the middle of a row between your wife and AI. Has this now escalated?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I managed to create a whole host of problems for myself by doing something that time has taught me over and over again. I should know better than to do this. Yet, okay. I tried regardless. I attempted DIY.
Oh, come on. We've been here before. I mean, recently you tried to put a barbecue together and that turned into a disaster.
Oh, how I yearn for the days of putting a barbecue together.
So what did you attempt?
I attempted some plumbing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, like, I've known you long enough to know that that's not a sentence you should ever be uttering. the day you phone me and say, Trevor, I'm doing a bit of plumbing, is the day I just think, well, the world's gone completely mad. Going by the setup to this story, this wasn't a success. I was going to say, maybe deep down you've got some plumbing ability that you've been hiding under a bushel for a while. But you tried some plumbing. I mean, it's the most, because the thing is, once water starts flowing, it's very difficult to stop it.
Yes, I can confirm. Yes. We had our kitchen done a few years ago, and let's just say it was fucking botched, and we got absolutely taken for a ride, and I have hated my kitchen ever since. But the biggest problem has been the kitchen tap. The one special little touch I asked for, a certain type of tap, was installed and the pressure to it was shite. And I since had another plumber in to fix a different problem. And I asked him, before you go, mate, just have a look at this. And he said, yep, that's completely the wrong type of tap for this house. Anyone who knew the first thing about plumbing would have known this tap would never, ever work with this sort of house because of the upstairs, downstairs pressure system. Not going to work in a million years. Whoever put that in...
It was a tap you insisted on.
Well, I didn't know. I just said to the builder, can I have this tap? And he went, yeah, okay. And it got to the point where when he installed it and then showed me, I thought, well, that isn't very good. And he ended up putting his mouth around the tap and sort of blowing on it to sort of to clear an imaginary airlock that he thought might have been causing the problem.
I mean, look, I'm not a plumber, but I don't think that's the thing you do to clear an airlock, is it? I'd love to know from anyone listening who knows this sort of stuff, by blowing into a tap, would that clear an airlock? I don't know.
Well, anyway, it did. Surprisingly enough, it didn't fix it, and he just let me live with it, took my money and fucked off. So I've been living with this problem ever since, and it's been bugging me. And he also destroyed, by the way, whilst fitting the kitchen, destroyed my source of an outside water tap. So I now have a shit kitchen sink and no water to the outside of the house.
Okay.
So I thought, two-in-one fix here. What I'll do is I will replace the kitchen tap myself.
Wow.
And I'll get a tap that will fit for an extension so I can use it as a hose outside on the patio. And those things do exist. And I even did my research and bought a tap that would do the job. All the bits I bought were correct.
At any point, has Mrs. Ben said, it's all very well getting the right bits, Ben, but are you really going to undertake this work yourself?
Well, the thing is, when I get a bee in my bonnet about something, I want it not only to be done in the next 5 minutes. Ideally, I want it to be done yesterday. Right. So yeah. I was pressing ahead full speed at this point. And I took great solace from the... Have you ever seen the show Peep Show?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a line in it from a character called Super Hans, where he describes plumbing as being simple. And I think the quote he uses is basically water Lego, isn't it? So I thought, well, yeah, can't be that hard then, can it?
Yeah.
So another good lesson for anyone out there is don't take advice from comedy sitcom... Yeah, from comedy shows, basically, about how to do home maintenance. It's they're jokes for a reason. So I managed to be very clever, and I turned I believe it's called the stopcock off.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got all the jargon.
Oh, yeah. I know all the plumbing words, yeah. And then I got the cold water off, you know, a bit of a dribble, as expected. I looked that up. Bit of a dribble, that's fine.
Oh, as expected, yeah. Or you really sound like you know what you're doing.
And then I undid the hot tap one, and I didn't realise the hot tap and the cold tap had separate stopcocks. So the hot thing comes off, and water starts spurting out from underneath my kitchen sink.
Brilliant.
I start immediately panicking.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get to the stopcock, which I've now located. However, it's directly under this funnel, which is spouting increasingly hot water as this is coming up to temperature. It's going everywhere. So I end up reaching into it. It's like a saw trap, trying to throttle this stopcock off to the off position whilst being scalded by boiling hot water. So I keep having to pull my hand back out. I end up getting the oven gloves on.
Right.
And that gives me about 20 seconds of attempt before the hot water starts seeping through the oven glove and burning me.
I was going to say, because the oven glove is the worst bit of equipment for this job, because within seconds it'll be like, it's not there to keep water away.
No, and it turns out that oven gloves, when combined with water, are incredible conductors of heat, which is why you should never pick up anything from an oven with a wet oven glove. So, again, another small bit of home advice there. So, finally, the oven glove method works. I burn my hand once again, but at least now the water has stopped. Hmm. I get the old tap out with immense difficulty, and I get the new one in. I get it in place. I'm thinking this is hell, but I'm getting there. Now, the new nozzles for the hot and cold bits won't reach the old ones.
Now, for the hot and cold bits, there's another...
The bits I've unscrewed.
Let me just write that down better. Because I'm making notes. The hot and cold bits. Now I know what we're talking about.
So the new tap, the hoses that are supposed to go to the existing hot and cold nozzles, won't reach. I should have measured it. I didn't. It won't reach.
I mean, this is a disaster.
So now I'm left with having to put the old one back in. Until I've managed to fix this problem. So all I've done is caused a mess, burned myself, wasted a load of time, and bought a £50 tap that won't fucking reach. And I was pleased with that. I thought there was a bargain, that tap. So then I reattached the old one. I think, well, that was a giant waste of time. Let me just check it's all working. No. What has happened is all the hoses in my wrestling match have become kinked and are now dribbling. Dribbling to the point where they're unusable. And now I think, oh, shit. It's bank holiday weekend. It's a Sunday night. It's an 8 p.m. emergency plumber call-out job.
Oh, mate, this is going to cost you a lot of money.
The plumber, he's 2 hours I'm waiting for him. I called him at 6. He got there about 8. So I'm already pissed off. He arrives, and to be fair, there is some silver linings that come with this story. He said, who the hell put this plumbing together down here? He said, tell me this wasn't put together by a professional plumber, because if it is, I'm concerned.
Right.
So he had to sort of re-pipe the hole underneath the sink, and I said, no, it wasn't a plumber, it was this shitty... I really want to use some super bad language, but we try to resist certain words on this podcast. Builder that I employed years ago to do this.
Did you admit
job.
To your bit?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I did. I held my scorched hands up to own up to my end of the shit. So anyway, within about half an hour, the plumber's come in, fixed it, done a very good job. He's even installed my new tap for me and made it work with extended hoses. He's done a grand job. I'm very pleased with it. And he also pointed out, by the way, your dishwasher wasn't funneled in properly. So I thought, oh, that'll explain almost 5 years of the dishwasher not working properly or the washing machine not working properly. So that's been solved now. So, you know, he's done me some good turns along the way, this plumber. He's extended the plumbing works. He's fixed the dishwasher. He's done all this on a bank holiday late in the evening and fixed my work, my botched plumbing work. So I'm there in a bad mood with a nursed hand, water everywhere all over the floor, which thankfully I've now sorted out. And then it comes to the matter of the bill, bank holiday weekend, 8 p.m. £450.
Yeah, of course it's going to be £450.
Bear in mind, I spent 50, that includes VAT, I should point out. I spent £50 on the tap thinking that was a victory. I've now spent, including the price of the tap, 10 times the amount. I'm £500 down, wow, injured, and in a bad fucking mood. So I've spent the rest of the week recovering and just sort of trying to be philosophical about the whole thing, but it's not been easy.
I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, a parent, but you've got yourself to blame, Ben. Yeah.
I know. My Mrs. Ben, she now wants me to do some work in the garden.
Does she realise that this is a disaster waiting to happen? What does she want you to do in the garden? What does it involve?
She wants me to put up trellis on a fence, which sounds simple enough to your average human being, but I don't know how I'm going to burn the house down, but believe me, I'll find a way.
Well, there's certainly going to have to be a new fence put up. At the very least, just when I'm a little bit of trellis, you're going to fall through a panel. I can see, it's like fucking Frank Spencer doing a job in it with you.
So if you found my plight entertaining and you're giggling at my injuries and my massive hit to my wallet, if you would like to donate to can we set up a GoFundMe or something like that?
I don't, like, GoFundMe pages should be set up for, you know, they're often set up for really serious things. You know,
I thought this was very serious. I had to call out an emergency
your
plumber
body or something. You know, not someone's inept ability at plumbing. I think that's what GoFundMe's there for.
Fine. Well, you would like to make a little donation. I'll be happy. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
£200, Trev. £200. You're a mate.
See, the thing is, I learned a long time ago, because I understand this, and you're younger than I am, and you've probably still got this, which has now been dispelled, by the way, I would hope, forevermore, because I lost any belief that I could do any proper DIY years ago, because you make these mistakes, you do silly things. Now, I'm very lucky in that I have my dad, who lives very nearby, who can do a lot of the DIY stuff that I would never be able to do. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but years ago when we were still on the radio, I had a saga of my toilet, the flush mechanism had broken.
Yes.
And I tried to change that and water started spurting out everywhere. And I thought, well, I don't understand how this can happen. And it was great because it actually gave us some material on a radio station for builders. I mean, it made me look an absolute fucking prune because I'm supposed to be the voice of, or a voice of the industry, right? And I just thought after that, you know, that's a very simple thing. That should be taking the old thing out, putting the new thing in. Couldn't do it. And I learned from that point on that it's not for me anymore. It's not for me anymore.
Yeah.
I can do the destructive side of stuff. I can strip walls. I can sand. I can paint. I can do the painting all right. That's something I can do because that's quite straightforward. Although don't expect me to be really neat at the edges. That's not going to happen. But the main thing, Ben, and you've got to, well, presumably this experience will now teach you that the idea of doing this sort of stuff. A few years ago, a friend of mine, just before Christmas, he said to me, would you come over, Trevor? Because he basically had this table that he got from his, I think it was in his dad's house originally, and his dad got a new table or something. So he had this table. He'd had it for a few years. He said, I want to sand it down and sort of make it new, you know, freshen it up. And I said, oh, that's fine. Yeah, I'll bring over the sander and we'll sand it. Now, neither of us had any knowledge of how to revamp a table, right? We just thought you sand everything off. And we got this varnish, this sort of varnish stroke stain. And it was sort of really thick and gloopy. And we ended up putting it on with a roller.
Right.
And then overnight some rain got in. So then we had to start afresh the next day. And it was only years later. Like we made this thing. We did it. And I think there was also this thought that, like, when his family came for Christmas, they might sort of say, oh, what a great job, because we also did the chairs as well. What a great job you've done on the chairs and the table. I don't think he got that response from the family. I think it was more like, what the fuck have you done? And it was years later, I thought, see, what we should have done is actually put some wood stain on first and then varnish over the top. That's what you should do. But we were just gung-ho. Oh, we know what we're doing without any research, without any idea what we're doing. And we ruined this table. We ruined a fairly nice table. And I think after that, I think his wife basically said, did we get a new table? Did we get rid of that piece of shit that you and your mate have created?
You see, you've reminded me now. Earlier on, you mentioned that we used to be on a radio station for builders and it gave you a bit of material to discuss on the radio. The added kick in the bollocks that I'd forgotten to mention about my kitchen tap problem was recently the home base in East Grinstead was closed down. So I've only got one local DIY store. I won't name it. It's a big name. And they have an exclusive deal with our old employers to blare out their radio station within this DIY store.
Right.
So whilst I'm being reminded, you know, frantically looking for a new kitchen tap, calling out emergency plumbers, having to go back and forth to this particular store for bits and pieces, I'm having to listen to the radio station that sacked me. Just added salt to the wound that how incompetent I am. I can't even talk to the tradespeople anymore, let alone do the DIY.
Oh, mate, it sounds like an absolute nightmare. I don't think I'd ever go into a shop that's blaring that station out.
To this day, I swear to God, I've learnt my lesson. I won't even change the fuse in a plug from this day on. I'll just throw it away. If the lamp is broken, then I'm not going to check the fuse. It's going to the fucking skip.
Well, look, the other thing is you've got to learn is don't do anything at bank holiday weekend because the call out is way more expensive.
Yeah.
So don't ever try anything on a bank holiday weekend that can go wrong. That's another lesson learned. Secondly, you know, if you're not going to do anything, then just suck it up. You're going to pay someone to come and do it and, you know, work it out, get your quotes, you know, go through that whole process.
I am just so grateful that I have managed to, I mean, I know it burned my hand quite a lot, but I'm grateful that I managed to at least stop the hot water because in the 2 hours I had to wait for the plumbing team to arrive, I say team, it was one young man who made me feel very inferior. I can't imagine of how much water there would have been if I hadn't stopped that. So,
you've been flooded out, mate. You've been flooded out. You know, I know that in recent times you've had a new carpet in your living room, that would have all been ruined, that would have all been wet.
Yeah, sodden. So, and he did fix problems I didn't even know I had, and he did reaffirm that the previous arsehole that put it all together was an absolute cowboy. So, yeah, I felt better for knowing that little bit of reassurance that I was absolutely conned. And it's taught me the most valuable lesson, don't try getting a proper man to do it.
Although maybe, like you say, he sorted out problems you didn't know he had. I mean, he might have just seen an opportunity there. You know, looked, well, it's bank holiday. I can charge him a bit more. Say, oh, that's badly done. Got to watch out for scammers. Talking of scammers, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was a thing this week. My mum almost got scammed.
Oh, no.
Right? This is a thing that's going around at the moment. So this is a bit of a warning to you. She got a phone call from someone pretending to be from the Metropolitan Police, right?
Okay.
And they said, we're phoning you because your bank card's been cloned and someone's attempting to take money from your account, right?
Right.
And, of course, then the scam was going to try and go on to get her bank details from her.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, I think it sort of started to dawn that it was a scam. I think someone else was in the house saying, oh, this is definitely a scam, right? So when they started to say to the person on the end of the phone, I don't really believe you. The guy on the end of the phone said, no, I'm definitely from the police. Definitely from the police. If you dial 999, they'll tell you that I'm definitely from the police. Right? You sort of think,
what?
Yeah, like, if you're pretending to be from the police, don't tell somebody to dial the emergency number for non-emergency. That would be the most sort of back-to-front idea of the police, wouldn't it? Ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow, how strange.
But then it transpires because they did report it to the proper police and they were aware of this scam, as were the bank. This is obviously a thing that's going on. And they said, what the scammers do, and I would suggest that if you're in a panic, if you think your card is being scammed and they say, well, dial 999, right? Most people in a normal frame of mind would go, well, I'm not dialing 999 for that. As they did, they dialed whatever the other number is, 101, or whatever the non-emergency police number is, to report this was happening, right? But in a panic, you might just go, yeah, oh, okay, 999. And what the scammers have done is they set something up. So if you dial 999, it uses their phone line to go through to somebody else who then goes, oh, yes, no, he's definitely from the police service. Presumably, you do it while you're on the phone to them, I don't know. But they've got this way where they can put you through to someone who then pretends to be someone else who
confirms. But surely not if you hang up the phone and then ring 999,
well,
surely.
I've no idea how this works, mate, but that's what they're doing.
Wow,
okay. Just got to watch out for it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, this is good advice because there are probably people who don't know this is a thing. I'm assuming the police will never be calling you ever about your stolen bank card. I imagine the first port of call would be your bank would block the card and contact you some other way.
I would imagine so. I mean, these people, there's a special place in hell for these people, isn't there?
You know? There really should be, yes. Another one, by the way, I should point out, I know a lot of people tend to know this, but there are some people who don't. Another very popular scam at the moment, and has been for a while, is HMRC phoning you up to tell them that you owe them thousands of pounds and you're at risk of going to prison if you don't pay up immediately and blah, blah, blah. For anyone of any doubt, the HMRC will never, ever, ever phone you demanding money. It simply won't happen. It's a con.
They also would email you. I get emails from supposedly from HMRC telling me that I'm due a rebate based on my latest tax return, right? And I get these fairly regularly. And the thing I don't understand about it is, you know, I'm a self-employed person. I know when my tax return goes in. I get the letter to tell me how much I owe. I pay it. I know exactly when I'm going to get letters from the HMRC, and it's always a letter through the post. It's never an email to tell me that I'm due money or owe money. It's never an email. And these emails always go, oh, you're owed £3,000 in tax rebate. And I thought, well, really? Because my accountant didn't tell me that when he did my tax return. So that seems very odd. And they go, all you've got to do is go to, there's a link, obviously, for them to take you to some portal that would supposedly look like an HMRC website, presumably, and then swindle you. So I think, I mean, the thing that always amazes me is they obviously make enough money out of this to keep going, you know, and it's just like I dread the day, and it will happen one day when you drop your guard and you just do the wrong thing. I think it's very easily done.
Yeah, you do have to keep your wits about you, and unfortunately, with things like AI getting better and better, the schemes will become more sophisticated. And the sad thing is, they wouldn't bother doing it if it didn't work sometimes. So yeah, there must be quite a few people making it worth their while to do it for.
Although whenever I get an email telling me I'm owed £3,000 rebate, I mean, it's worth the risk, and it's worth the risk in case. They've been talking of warnings to people about things.
Yeah.
Are you ever thrown by warning labels or signs on things?
There was one that made me laugh, and I've looked it up to make sure that I didn't dream it. And I found it again here on, if you Google it, you'll find it. And it was a real sign, and it says, safety warning. Opening this box will result in death by electrocution and a €50 fine.
Okay, well, that's yeah, I suppose you can be fined posthumously, can you? I don't know how that works.
But it'd be a bit cruel, don't you think, to, you know, send the invoice to the widow?
I was on a bus the other day, and there's a sign above the door on a bus that says, warning, moving parts. I mean, yes, it's a door that opens. Of course, I don't know why you need to put a sign up to tell people that. I think, I believe people are getting more stupid as the years go by, but that seemed to be an unnecessary sign. But a lot of the time, these signs are put up because someone has either injured themselves or done something stupid. So you can only assume that at some point someone's either been leaning against the doors and they've opened and they've fallen out and injured themselves, or they've got caught up in the doors as they've opened. You know, it's common sense, isn't it? Don't you think the world has lost the ability to have common sense?
Well, yeah, until there's money involved, because I do remember a very well-known fast food chain who didn't used to display that there was no hot warning on their coffee. And right. then one day some idiot spilled hot coffee all over themselves and successfully sued them for thousands and thousands because they hadn't warned them the coffee would be hot.
Right. I mean, one of the main selling points of coffee is that it's hot.
Yes. And it's I mean, I know also... you can get, like,
the Frappuccino and things these yeah. days, but...
It's also the reason that, ridiculously, if you buy yourself a bag of peanuts, on the back of it, it will probably say, warning, this product contains nuts. Mm, and you think, yes. well, I bloody hope so.
I'd be disappointed if it didn't, really. having seen that sign on the bus... I then decided to have a little route around the internet for some of the most bizarre warning signs and labels that have been known to man.
Okay.
Funny enough, number one on the list is the one you've already mentioned. Warning, contains peanuts on a packet of peanuts.
There you go.
The other one, this was on a push chair, and it said, warning, remove child before folding.
Good advice.
I mean, again, like, is any mother or father, I suppose you could argue that a mum or dad that is just absolutely exhausted, the child's kept them up for three nights in a row, just not thinking, folds of the pushchair. But I think most parents would remove the child before folding the pushchair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like that thing from a sort of bad cartoon where the father's given the instructions to put the baby in the pram and put the chicken in the oven. And he goes to discover the chicken's in the pushchair. Thinks, shit, where's the kid?
This was on a child's Superman costume. Warning, does not enable flight.
Again, though, there'll have been some kid who's put on a cape, jumped off the shed roof and broken his neck. And no one's told him when he bought the Superman costume, it wouldn't actually make him fly.
Mind you, I'm assuming this is a child's Superman costume. I'll be honest, it doesn't specify. It just says Superman costume. I just said child. I just assumed child. But, you know, it could be like one of those stag do things, you know, and people get a bit pissed up on a stag do. Maybe it does need that idea.
Hang on a minute. I take issue with this. I've been drunk in the past, and sometimes, you know, I don't do it so much anymore, but a few years ago, I used to have a bit of a habit for getting a bit drunk and climbing on things.
Right.
However, even at my drunkest, I never thought, I can actually fly. I was never
You
weren't
wearing a Superman outfit, though, were you? I mean, there might be something about that cape flapping around that makes you think, oh, I'll give it a go.
I mean, maybe if you're on some sort of hallucinogenic drug or something, maybe then you might believe you can fly. But no, being pissed, I don't think anyone's ever truly believed they can take off.
Okay, here's another one. This was on a scooter. And when I say scooter, I'm sort of assuming a moped, not one of those scooters. It could be like a child's scooter, I suppose. It doesn't specify. But the sign on it was a warning, moves when used. it's the very idea of a scooter, isn't it, that it moves.
Why is that a warning?
Well, because if you're not expecting something to move, it's going to end in disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you're... If you're unaware of what the scooter is when you buy it and how it works, I don't think you should be allowed to operate it full stop.
I don't know what sort of scooter we're talking about. Because if it's like a child's scooter, you know, a child might not think, even a child's going to know it's going to move. Because the whole point of it is to move forward, isn't it?
Yeah. That'd be like saying warning prints on a printer. It's what it's designed to do. Anyway, what's the next one?
On sleeping pills, may cause drowsiness.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why they have to. I suppose, again, it's the risk of being sued, isn't it, if they don't put on every single possible side effect for all of these drugs. Yeah. Again, it's what it's designed to do.
Yeah. Now, this is a bit of an old one because the iPod, well, I don't think the iPod is a thing really anymore, is it? Which is, it's a shame you think the iPod is no longer a thing. I have got an iPod, but I suppose I don't use it anymore. It's just sitting in a drawer.
I can check if you want, if you can still buy an iPod. I doubt it because the iPhone.
Yeah, I've got a feeling you can't, but please check. But I'll tell you what was on a label or on an iPod. do not eat. who's eating an iPod?
It doesn't appear that they are selling any new iPods anymore.
No, I thought they discontinued the
yes,
iPod.
It looks like they have.
It's amazing to think that that was such a... That was the height of technology, wasn't it, at one point?
Yeah. I remember having one, and it was one of the posh ones that could play video. I was very excited about it, but now the iPhone just makes everything look crap by comparison, doesn't it?
Have you... So you've got an iPhone, haven't you? Is there anything on that that says do not eat? Because I'm just thinking... the iPod would have had the Apple logo on. Would that have been a misleading icon? Well,
and there's a bite taken out of it as well, isn't there?
Exactly. It's the logo's fault. It's not the stupidity of people. It's the logo's fault.
Just speaking of logos, it's not on the same subject as stupid warnings, but someone said something to me this week which I can't now unsee.
Right.
And I'm going to spoil this for anyone else who's listening, because you also will never be able to unsee this. The first two letters of the Lidl logo, the L and the I, looks like a dog playing a piano.
Well, I'm going to have to look at this now.
Google the image of the Lidl logo, the L and the I, and it looks like a dog playing the piano.
Yes, I suppose it does. I mean, yes, it does. You're right.
You will never unsee that, and you will never not think of that information the next time you see the Lidl logo.
Wow, that's amazing. Then what's the other one? There's the famous... I think it's the Chicago Bulls logo. If you want to Google the Chicago Bulls logo, but you do then have to flip it upside down.
Okay, I'm on it. Yeah.
But it then looks like a robot having some fun with a crab, shall we say?
Yeah, it does.
You're never going to unsee that.
Nope. Love it.
Staying on a sort of food theme warning, this was on a mattress. Do not swallow. I mean,
a mattress?
You can't swallow a mattress. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to take bites out of a mattress. So I think if you're going to put a warning on a mattress, do not eat is better than do not swallow, because do not swallow suggests that you could swallow an entire mattress.
God, imagine taking a mattress spring to the roof of the mouth. Oh, God.
Well, it's going straight through. That's a killer, because that's going right through to the brain and piercing it. It's a death sentence, eating a mattress. That's why you shouldn't eat a mattress. It's not. I mean, I would imagine the nutritional value of a mattress is almost zero.
Would it make you difficult to put in your coffin? You'd be like sort of like a jack in a box, keep popping back out.
I don't think you'd need a coffin. If you've become mattress shaped, you're easily carryable. And most people just dump a mattress at the end of a road. If I've swallowed a mattress, just dump me. Just fly tip me.
I mean, but no one's going to come and collect a mattress, are they? At least when I, for entertainment reasons, definitely didn't fly tip a barbecue, at least someone was going to get some money out of that and profit and definitely take it. No one's going to want your shitty old mattress.
No, I suppose not. Well, I mean, think about it. It's a mattress with head, arms and legs. It's a it's a novelty item, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
This was on a cereal bowl. Use only with adult supervision.
A bowl?
I mean, how dangerous is a cereal bowl?
Is it because they don't want kids to eat out of it on their own and maybe choke? Unsupervised eating?
I think a cereal bowl's got a feeling that it needs to be thrown, doesn't it? Sort of that shape, you can pick it up and chuck it, which I suppose children might do. But I remember as a kid never needing adult supervision when using a cereal bowl. I think, is that a millennial thing? Is that a snowflake thing that they can't use cereal bowls?
Maybe.
This was a blowtorch. I mean, I feel you might need this, knowing about your DIY abilities now, Ben. This was a blowtorch. Do not use on yourself.
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm in a position to mock DIY advice at this point. So, yeah, I'll take that.
Mind you, I mean, some people, I'm not saying it was a blowtorch, but there was a famous story of a footballer who he'd injured his toe somehow. Was it an ingrowing toenail or something? And he'd read that he could basically sort the problem out himself using a drill.
Oh, my God. Why?
Well, he read this thing, apparently, and I can't remember the whole story, but he used a drill on himself and basically made his injury worse than it was before. So
is
maybe
that
these,
true?
I think it's true. I'd have to Google it now and find out. Maybe you could ask Giselle Pecci-Turner if it's true or not.
Okay, yeah. A little appearance for Giselle. I'm sure she'll be thrilled. One second. Hi, Giselle. Is there any truth of a story of a footballer with an ingrowing toenail who used an electric drill to try and fix the problem?
Hey, babe. So, yeah, there actually is a bit of a wild story like that out there. It's one of those infamous sports urban legends. There's a tale that goes around about a footballer who supposedly got so fed up with his ingrown toenail that he took a power drill to it. Now, whether it's 100% true or just a bit of locker room lore that's been exaggerated over time is kind of up in the air. But it's definitely one of those quirky stories that gets passed around in the sports world.
Do we know who this alleged player was?
I've just found the story, right? This was back in 2003, a footballer called Darius Vassell. I don't know if you remember him. He played for
Aston Villa. You're Darius, were you? Because there are some people who are Darius.
Darius. It could be Darius. I always called him Darius. But the story goes, and this story was told by his then manager, the now late but great Graham Taylor, told this story, that it wasn't an ingrowing toenail, actually. I got that bit wrong. He had a blister beneath the nail on his big toe.
Okay.
So he attempted to drill through the nail to drain the fluid from the blister. He subsequently picked up a blood infection in his toe and then had to have the entire nail removed, and he missed several crucial games for Aston Villa in the process. So maybe there should be warnings on power tools about don't use on yourself.
No, there needs to be a warning on Darius Vassell that says don't do anything. I mean, fair enough. I've shared with you my absolutely ridiculous efforts at DIY, which is humiliating. But there is a difference between me fucking up a sink and a man who relies on his feet for a living to take a power drill to his toe. Oh, my God. That could have ruined his career.
I know.
That is... I mean, I'm very sorry, Mr. Vassell, but that is so fucking stupid.
Right, I'll give you a couple more. Never iron clothes whilst wearing them. I think that seems a fairly sensible idea.
Well, yeah. I remember Ricky Gervais told a story once about how when he was at university, he couldn't be bothered to wash his clothes properly. So he ended up, I think, filling the bath with some sort of detergent and then getting in fully clothed and just sort of writhing around.
Right.
And he's an intelligent man.
But, yes. Yeah. It's funny how your mind works sometimes when there's a problem to overcome, though, isn't there? You sort of feel like, oh, if I do this, and you don't sort of think how stupid that might actually be.
Yeah, you do cringe when you look back at some of the dumber things.
We've all done it. Warning on a knife may have sharp edges. Now, I'd be disappointed if a knife didn't have a sharp edge, if I'm honest.
Yes, yeah. You'd hope so. And if not, it's more of a problem if it doesn't. May need sharpening would be the warning, I would think. But
yes, yeah. Yes. Right, the final one. And I mean, I don't know where this warning would be. I'm assuming this sounds like it's on a pair of trousers. This is in an American language. This was on a pant zipper, it says. So I'm assuming that's the zip of some trousers in English language.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, you wouldn't have this a warning on the zip, surely. But the warning was, do not let anyone punch this.
I mean, that is excellent advice, but probably not for the reason they're intending. Because why would they be concerned anyone would punch a zip?
I don't know. I don't know why that needs to be a warning. If someone's going to punch you in the nether regions, they're not going to be worrying about the zip.
Yeah. So long as I'm not wearing my trousers, you can punch my zip all day long. But it's when they're on that it gets problematic.
Where's the fun in that, though? Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations. Got anything for us this week, Ben?
Not from myself, but Mrs. Ben has recently watched a documentary on Netflix, which he says is very good. It's called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish.
Ooh, okay.
And the premise is, sadistic texts from an unknown number plunge a teen couple into a twisted mystery in this documentary examining the disturbing case and the shocking culprit. She has told me all about it, and it's messed up.
I love these sort of documentaries where you sort of go in thinking, oh, this is going to be a basic catfishing story, and then often there's about two or three subplots that unfold.
As Mrs. Ben was telling me the sort of plot of this, I had a couple of stabs at who I thought the culprit would be, and I was stunned by the reveal. So I won't say any more. I would just highly recommend you watch it. I have no need to watch it now because I know exactly what happens. But yeah, Mrs. Ben, there's a recommendation from her.
Well, that sounds good. I'll definitely watch that. I've got a couple of recommendations for you this week. First of all, it's a drama that I discovered this week. It's about 10, 11 years old. It's on ITV. It's called The Ice Cream Girls.
Okay.
It's based on a novel. It's a sort of psychological thriller. So basically, there's two women who were friends when they were young. They were accused of killing their school teacher. One of them was charged with the crime. They went their separate ways for 17 years, and then they're suddenly brought back together, and it's the story of what really happened. And it's only three episodes, and it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know how I've missed it. It was originally, I think 2013 it originally went out, and it just had not crossed my radar at all. And someone said to me this week, have you ever seen it? And I said, no, not heard of it. And it's brilliant.
Sounds good.
The other thing I'm going to recommend is a comedy drama, again, a few years old. A long-time listener to the podcast, Faye, actually recommended this to me. And I'd seen this programme around and had never got round to watching it. It's called Back to Life. It's on the BBC iPlayer. It's a comedy drama, the story of a woman who comes out of prison after 18 years for a terrible crime she committed in her teens. And it's basically about her trying to find herself back in the community where no one likes her because of what she did. It's a very dark comedy. I've watched the first series. It's really good. There's only two seasons of it. It's written or co-written and created by Daisy Haggard, who stars in it, who I've always really thought she's a not underrated because she's great in everything, but she's one of those names that should be bigger. Do you know what I mean? And if you don't know who I'm talking about, if you Google Daisy Haggard, you'll recognise her face instantly. She's a well-known sort of character actress. Just brilliant.
Oh, yes, I know who she is, yeah. So she's great.
Yeah, no, so that's well worth a watch. And the other thing I'm going to throw in, this can't be a recommendation because, I haven't seen it because it's not started yet. But this is something I'm a little bit excited but nervous about.
Go on.
It's the brand new sketch show. Now, sketch shows are a bit of a thing of the past. You don't get many sketch shows these days. But a sketch show is coming back to Channel 4 this week, starting on Friday. It's the new Mitchin and Webb sketch show.
Yes, I knew this was on the way. I didn't realise it was coming that soon. I'm looking forward to it. I love their old stuff. I'm hoping it will be as good as the old stuff and hasn't lost its touch.
It's called Mitchin and Webb Are Not Helping. It's obviously Mitchin and Webb are the main stars, but it's also got Carl Smith Bino in it, Stevie Martin, who's sort of one of these up-and-coming comedians. I have to say the other two names I don't recognise, Crystal Evans and Laura, I don't even know how you say the surname, Ricote, but they are being lauded as sort of the new generation of comedians coming up. So I'm excited by it. I just hope, you know, because sketch shows can be hit and miss, can't they?
They can be, but they've got a good reputation behind them, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt and hope for the best.
Well, fingers crossed. That starts on Friday on Channel 4, so maybe next week we can come back and see what we think of the first episode, at least.
Speaking of final episodes as well, on the same day on Friday, will be the series finale to the current series of Dexter. So for anyone who didn't want to pay more than a month's subscription to Paramount Plus, next Friday, subscribe, binge the whole lot, if you want, at your peril, and then delete your subscription.
So cue next week, lots of moaning from you about the season finale and how incredibly disappointed you are by it and how it was a part of old shit.
Almost certainly.
And then at some point, I'll get round to watching it because I did the original lot. Something to look forward to. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. Oh, by the way, thank you to John, our old mate John. got in touch with me this week. He'd been listening to an episode we did a few weeks back where we talked about Saltburn. I don't know if you remember me mentioning that film a few weeks back.
Vaguely, yes.
Well, he sent me an image this week of an album he bought for the soundtrack to Saltburn, but it's a limited edition. It's like the centre of the record is like a plug hole, and it's a solid record, and it seems to have liquid in to represent the infamous, I should say, bathtub scene. If you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you don't know, you may not want to watch it. I don't know. But it's a very special item. I got the picture, I thought, I can't believe that actually exists, but what an amazing object to have.
So is he gifting this to the Trev and Ben podcast?
No, just showing us. Just showing us.
Oh, right. What are you telling me for? I thought we were getting something special.
I thought you might go around and nick it. I don't know. basically, what I'm saying is get in touch with us about anything, is what I'm saying. And it's just nice to have some interaction, isn't it? It's nice to have...
Yes, something. I'm only teasing. Thank you, John.
Yes, so thank you very much. We're at Trev and Ben X and on Blue Sky. Although I don't know why I bother with Blue Sky. I don't put anything on it anymore. No one's ever followed us on it. But I don't mention it everywhere. Waste of time, frankly. So we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.